sermon idea all planned out that I really tried to stick with this week, and that sermon's title was called Transform Doubt. But I struggled just a bit too long with that, and so I switched gears yesterday, and I just realized I had so many questions for Thomas. I really identified with him, and so I just decided to write him a letter, and I'll read that letter to you now. Dear Thomas, I am writing to you because I have so many questions for God, just like you did. I think we might be kindred spirits, you and I. I tend to be a pretty skeptical person, which is good sometimes and not so good the others. Most of the time, I think it's a good thing. You know, I'm skeptical of the news on TV because no matter what channel it's on, it's reported with a bias. I'm skeptical of the things that I read on the internet until I've vetted the source, because the internet is a scary place, full of omissions and exaggerations. I'm skeptical even of my own experiences of the world, because I know that I encounter our world from a place of profound privilege. But enough about me, Thomas. You don't even know what the internet is. But you were skeptical too, just like I am today. I don't readily believe in miracles like resurrection and physical healing. That's hard for me. So I think you and I would get along. I also really hate being left out. And you were left out a lot in the story that we read today. The first time anyone saw Jesus, he appeared to a group of women. So obviously you weren't there for that, Thomas. The first time all of your buddies saw Jesus, they were hiding in a locked room while you were out. Who knows, maybe you drew the short straw and had to go pick up the takeout that they had ordered. Anyway, that's twice that you got left out of the whole seeing Jesus thing. And I don't know about you, but I would probably be checking the calendar to make sure that it's not some grand April Fool's joke if I had heard those stories. It's just too good and maybe even too weird to be true. I just want you to know, Thomas, that you're not alone. You're less alone, maybe, than you think you are. There's plenty of us here today who are doubters and questioners and feeling a bit self-conscious and left out while everyone around us says joyfully, "Christ is risen! Christ is risen indeed!" It's not that I don't believe that Christ is risen. For unlike you, Thomas, I have the advantage of hindsight, and I've been told these stories 100 times. I know how this story goes, but I just have so many questions, and I am weary of holding them inside. So here they are. Even if Jesus was raised from the dead, why does it matter? Why should it matter to me here and now, nearly over 2,000 years later? If the world is still full of hatred and violence and brokenness, what was the point of Easter? I know throughout the ages lots of people had questions like these. Some of them believed that Jesus never actually died. He just appeared to undergo suffering but never actually did. And there were people that said that Jesus was not human at all. There were people that said Jesus was only human and not divine. And I guess my question that follows all of that is, again, what's the point? I wish I could ask Jesus myself, just like you did, Thomas. I wish I could be close enough to touch him and to feel his holy breath rush past my ear. I wish a lot of things, Thomas. And you know, some of them are really spiritual, but others are just sort of selfish, like, can we have 30 hours in a day instead of 24? I would really appreciate that. And this might sound extravagant, but could I have like a little fairy that brings me a fresh cup of coffee every morning in bed? Because the mornings are just really hard. Can we work on that? But you know, more than that, I just want a moment of Jesus' time to pick his brain, or maybe just to sit on a park bench with him in silence. I think I could really use that. Thomas, I feel like my letter to you is wandering, and I'm sorry. Just hang in there. I just have so many questions, and it's all swirling in my mind. I guess what I'm trying to say is this, that I'm grateful to you, Thomas, for being my buddy in this scripture story. I'm grateful that in you I find a voice. Thomas, I want to say thank you for having the courage to ask your questions and demand your answers. You didn't demand anything that the other disciples had not already received. So thank you for making room for me in this story. I know that there are a lot of possible answers for my questions, all of those whys and what's the point. I could read 100 books and do so much research and read lots and lots of sermons by other people more brilliant than I. But instead, I really just want the space to ask the questions and to take my turn as the doubting Thomas in this story. I know that I would have a lot of questions for Jesus if I had encountered him like you did, Thomas. And, you know, I spent a lot of time wondering what exactly it was that you wanted out of that encounter when you got to meet Jesus after his resurrection. It seems you weren't at all that interested in miraculous healings, but rather you wanted to know that it was possible to live again with the scars of torture and the weight of death. You wanted to see that Jesus hadn't forgotten what it was like to be human and to live in this scary and painful world. You wanted to see that you weren't still alone, but that Jesus was with you, for better or for worse. You just wanted to know that he was the same guy, loving and powerful, vulnerable and susceptible to death, but also to life. You wanted to know if Jesus could be fully divine and also know what it was like to suffer. You know, maybe that's what I need to know too. That even in this flawed and broken world, it's possible to live with and through my scars. That our strength comes from sharing our weaknesses and our wounds with one another. And perhaps most importantly, that we will never, not ever, be alone in our suffering. For Christ went to the cross and goes with us everywhere we go in order to be with us. I came across a poem this week that was written by a man named Andrew King. And he says very beautifully what I've been trying to say in this letter to you, Thomas, so I'll just share it now. Thomas knows all about crucifixion. He knows the nails driven into the victim really do tear the flesh and damage the bone. He knows that this is a crucifying world with all its violence and greed and oppression. Still hammering nails into the hands of justice, still thrusting spears through the ribs of love, still hanging mercy and kindness to die, and still sealing up the tomb. Thomas knows all about it. So he knows that any real resurrection will have to come out of ruin, will have to come out of suffering, will have to come out still bearing the scars inflicted by this unjust world. Ask him not if he believes merely a God who is greater than suffering or death. For God, any God worth the name, would surely prove to be immortal, who may be able to pretend our pain but could never share it in truth. No, what Thomas wants to see is the Lord who rises from death by crucifixion, who rises from the worst that our world can do, who rises from the hells of corruption and cruelty, who rises from violence and terror and hate, who rises from rape and torture and war, who rises from hunger and disease and squalor, who rises torn and terribly scarred, yet walking among us still, who will touch us in our woundedness, who will hold us in our brokenness, who sees in us the prints left by the nails, who will put his own hurt hand upon our heartache, fear, and despair, and breathe his healing peace into our souls. This is who Thomas wants to see, the only Lord he wants to believe in. Thomas just wants to see Jesus. I'm like you, Thomas. I want to see Jesus. And when I really think about it, when I open my eyes and try to see the world through with your gaze, I really do see Jesus. No matter my doubts, I really can see that he lives in each of us. And so I see him all around. I see the scars in the broken bread and the poured cup. I see the hope in the way that we serve each other. And I see his love reflected even in our questioning eyes. So thank you, Thomas, for showing us the way to know Jesus even here and even now. Love, McKenna.